When Jesus sent his disciples out to teach and heal, they ministered among large numbers of people. Their work was motivated by Christ's desire to be among those in need. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. The apostles gathered around Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. He said to them, "Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And when they went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves, now many saw them going and recognized them, and they hurried there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. As he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them because they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats and wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. The Gospel of the Lord. Lord God, may your word become a light into our path, a lamp into our way. And now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Be still and know that I am God. This line from our psalm for today, Psalm 42, is one of my very favorite lines in all of Scripture. In fact, it's so important to my faith life that I have a plaque with those words on it hanging on the wall in my study at home, right over my desk, so that I have to look at it a lot. And it's good advice for all of us, especially those of us who are so busy doing and going and coming, and those who find themselves drifting away from God, faith, and the church. Our busyness and our preoccupation with activities, whether they are church-related or not, can occupy us so much that we begin to slip away, kind of like allowing ourselves to be carried by a current and not really realizing how far down the beach we've drifted. We were actively swimming, but lost track of our location and destination, in other words, our priorities. Even those of us in active ministry here at CLC can occasionally find ourselves busy for its own sake and lose sight that what we're doing here is all for the glory of God. Now, it's easy to do. I find myself doing it frequently. Get wrapped up in the business of the church and forget I have to bring myself back in. Remember why we're doing this. It's all for God's glory. And when that happens, we tend to miss opportunities to hear God's deep, quiet whisper in our hearts. And one of the ways we can stay focused is to consider this line from Psalm 46 and follow Jesus' example of making time to charge and recharge our spiritual batteries. This morning we see Jesus and the disciples headed across the Sea of Galilee one more time. The disciples have just returned from their first missionary journey, and they are understandably excited. Jesus wants to get away by himself with his disciples to debrief and to spend some time in prayer with them. The Mark text tells us all the activity that took place around Jesus. It tells how the crowds kept coming to him. It tells how much need there was for his ministry. But it also tells us that even Jesus saw the need to recharge and refocus. Now I see kind of a pattern in his actions, and I'd like to identify them as solitude, silence, and Sabbath. These were essential elements to Jesus' faith life, and they ought to be essential elements to our spiritual lives as well. I'm preaching to myself here too. So let's explore these three aspects of Jesus' spiritual life: solitude, silence, and Sabbath. First, let's look at solitude. For many of us, the only time we can really be alone is when we're, like, I don't know, driving in our car or taking a shower. You know, a time of solitude, holy solitude, is a good and necessary practice. It can be time of refreshment and new focus. A lot of people are afraid of solitude. They equate it with loneliness, or that you have to go off in the woods someplace. No one's asking you to go off in the woods, and you can practice holy solitude even in your own home, although I know that for some of us that may be a challenging thing to do. And I want to emphasize that here that there's a difference between being lonely and practicing holy solitude. The kind of solitude I'm talking about is more of a mental state than a real physical state, but it is highly enhanced by being alone. It is in solitude that we can meet God. God enters into our solitude. God enters bringing fresh hope and insight into our lives and situations. It is God's time to be alone with us. The famous heart surgeon, Dr. Michael DeBakey, which I'm sure most of you have heard about. This guy was busier than any of us could ever imagine. And he once observed, quote, "For me, the solitude of early morning is the most precious time of day. There is a quiet serenity that disappears a few hours later in the hustle and bustle of the multitude. Early morning hours symbolize for me a rebirth. The anxieties, frustrations, and woes of the previous day seem to have been washed away during the night. God has granted another day of life, another chance to do something worthwhile for humanity." End of quote. I especially like his belief that it allows him to do what he describes as something worthwhile for humanity. It's a great perspective for Christians. Occasional solitude is good for the soul. That's why Jesus took the disciples to a deserted place to rest. It was both a physical and spiritual rest. I commend solitude to you. Get away with your Savior. Find a time and a place to be alone with God. Take a walk alone. Sit and watch a sunset. Next, let's talk about silence. Back in the days when everyone traveled by train, a little girl was traveling with her family on a train that had sleeper cars. And sleepers generally had very narrow aisles with even narrower beds. And they were like two or three high on each side. And they were made private by curtains that you could draw. Well, that night the little girl was put in the upper bunk and was told that her mommy and daddy were right below her. And she was not to be scared because God would look after her. And as everyone began to doze off, the little girl became a little frightened and called out, "Mommy, are you there?" "Yes, dear," the mother replied. A few minutes later, she called out, "Daddy, are you there?" Father said, "Yes, dear, I'm here too." And things got quiet for a little while. And then the little girl said again, "Mommy, are you there? This time she asked if her brother and sister were there as well. And after everybody answered yes, quieted down, only to be repeated again a few minutes later, and then again a few minutes after that, until at last one passenger completely lost his patience, and in a deep voice says, "We're all here, your father, your mother, your brothers and sisters. Now go to sleep." About 5 minutes of silence, little girl was heard to whisper, "Mommy, was that God?" Well, may that may not have been the voice of God, but silence does allow us to listen to God. Silence allows us to reflect on life and faith and to let God enter into our thoughts and hearts. Just as we need solitude occasionally, we need quiet time too. No music, no TV, no cell phones, no talking, just pure silence. Be still and know that I am God. Be still So this morning I'd like us to try a little experiment here. I want us to take just a little bit, just a few moments here, just and simply be still and listen in our silence to God. So bow your heads, close your eyes, put aside all your plans, stop reading the bulletin, quit going through the grocery list or planning what you're going to do for lunch. Quit working on your to-do list for the coming week or your itinerary for the next trip. See, I know how y'all think. Empty your mind and say this prayer. Lord, what is it you want me to hear? And then be silent and just listen to God. Listen to what God has to say to you. Let's try that. Okay, now let me try to guess what was going through many of your minds, as your cluttered minds, as we did this. Many of us are probably thinking, well, this is weird. What am I supposed to do now? I guess I better at least look like I'm into this so no one thinks I'm thinking about something else other than listening to God. Okay, I'm bored now. I hope I don't fall asleep. Is the minute up yet? Now is it over? Is this eternity of awkward silence ever going to end? What's this crazy pastor trying to do anyway? Am I right or am I wrong? Yeah. I do know, however, that there are many of us who did genuinely spend time in silence listening to God, listening for God. And I'm willing to admit that when I first started trying this method of prayer with just 1 minute, and that adding minutes to it as I got more comfortable with it, it was a little awkward at first, especially for someone with ADD like me. But I have come to look forward to my time in silence, even if it is just for a short time. I have come to understand that I need a time of silence every day. Find a time and place to be in solitude and in silence. If you make this a habit, I promise you that soon you will begin to experience God's presence in a whole new way, and you'll be hooked on your quiet time with God. And finally, Sabbath. Jesus observed the Sabbath. God said, "Let there be 6 days for toil, and let there be 1 day for rest." A day set aside to rest physically, spiritually, emotionally, mentally. A day of rest, and a day to glorify God through remembering the blessings of God and giving thanks for our relationship with God. I mean, that's what Sabbath is all about. By giving the Sabbath, God has given 52 springtimes in every year. Jesus observed the Sabbath, a day made for us by God. And Jesus took it seriously. Time and time again in New Testament, you'll find a phrase that says, "As was his custom, Jesus went into the synagogue to pray or to teach," or something to that effect. As was his custom implies that Jesus was regular in worship attendance. He didn't just talk about going, he went. He didn't cut church to go to the Sabbath morning tournaments or games. Jesus observed the Sabbath because in doing so, he first offered his heavenly Father worship and praise, and then was fed, filled, and restored for the week to come. Did you get that order? First worship, first praise, then be fed and filled and restored for the week to come. In solitude, we meet God. In silence, we hear God. On the Sabbath, we restore our souls and support each other in corporate worship. That's why the Sabbath is so important. Honoring the Sabbath is one of the ways we show our love for God to God. Robert Schiller once said, quote, "The Sabbath should be a time when hope is reborn, dreams are rekindled, self-worth restored." End of quote. When we fail to take time to refresh our spirits, let our hope be reborn and our dreams rekindled, feed our souls and spend time in solitude with God, then we become victims of our own invention. And that is what gets us into trouble. You and I need the Sabbath. It's the way we were created. We need this time with God. Jesus took the disciples across the Sea of Galilee to find a lonely place where they could spend time in solitude, silence, and Sabbath. That was his custom. It was his way of staying in tune with God's will for his life and his ministry. It was a way of building the reserves needed for being a servant of the living Lord and to prepare himself for the ultimate act of love, his death on the cross for our sake. Jesus spent time taking care of his soul, and he taught the disciples to follow the same cycle. And it begins with solitude, silence, and Sabbath, and it leads to service for God. So don't forget to refuel. Don't neglect to refresh your spirit. It's like neglecting the oil level in your car. Neglect it, and it seizes up. Follow Jesus into the wilderness of solitude. Spend time every day in silence, listening to God, and keep the Sabbath. I promise you, your relationship with God will become deeper and clearer, and you will experience a sense of peace even in the midst of the maddening pace of life all around us. I found this little piece online. I wanted to share it with you. And I thought it was pretty good advice for all of us. It goes like this. Ever wonder about the abbreviation ASAP? Generally, we think of it in terms of even more hurry and stress in our lives. Well, maybe if we think of this abbreviation in a different manner, we'll be able to find a new way to deal with those rough days along the way. There's work to do, deadlines to meet. You've got no time to spare. But as you hurry and scurry, ASAP. Always say a prayer. In the midst of family chaos, quality time is rare. Do your best. Let God do the rest. ASAP. Always say a prayer. It may seem like your worries are more than you can bear. Slow down and take a breather. ASAP. Always say a prayer. Amen.